My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love Thee in life, I will love Thee in death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I will ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Amen, amen, amen. I bless the Lord. He's a mighty sweet Lord, and I'm glad that I know Him in the free pardon of sin. He's a gracious Savior. He's a loving God. Amen. He's a God of judgment, a God of wrath. I thank God that He's also a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of love. And I love Him because He first loved me.
Right.
And if I've ever loved Him, I love Him now. But if you would notice the progression of that song, it goes all the way through life, into death, and even into eternity. And I tell you, every day that I live, the nearer that I get, the more I realize that I love Him more now than what I did love Him before. And one of these days, our love for Him and with Him will be made perfect as we stand in the presence of Him. Oh, what a day and what a time that's going to be. I'm reading this morning from the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. The book of Exodus, chapter 3. We've been here for a while. I felt like we were done here, but the Lord had other plans. And Friday night, as I was sitting on the front porch and reading the Word of the Lord, waiting for Grace and the girls and boys to get home, that Miss Robbie had come and stolen them off and took them to the ball game, and they had sat with Brother Jeff, Brother John, and them. I don't know what all they might have done. It was late, I know that. Them boys must have played a lot of balls, all I know. But I was sitting on the porch and reading from Exodus chapter 3. I thought, well, I'll go back and read it. It's been such a blessing the last few weeks. And I thought, well, I'll go back and read it one more time. Think about that song Gold City sang when I was a kid. Of course, that's talking about Revelation. It said, I think I'll read it again. Now, I'm going to tell you this word, something about this word. Wherever it is in this Bible, somebody says, well, I've heard that all my life. Well, I think I'll just read it again. And I think I'll preach it again. And I think I'll sing that song again. I mean, something about this just thrills my soul. And I went back and began to read again. And the Lord has said that to my heart, you've been through verse number 6, but there's a lot of preaching yet to be done. And I began in verse number 7, and some things just began to jump out at me, and I mean just stand out as fresh and as new and as real as if it were the first time that I had read this passage of Scripture. My, what a great blessing it is to serve such a gracious Lord that will work in just that fashion. And so I want to begin. We left off in verse number 6 the last 3 weeks. We preached in verses 1 through 6, trying to preach about the fire of God. And I want to begin this morning in verse number 7. God gives us liberty according to what I expect. We'll preach through verse number 12 this morning and pick up in verse number 13 tonight and begin preaching in verse number 13. If the Lord will direct us as I have expected that He would according to our studies on Friday evening. Stand with us if you've found your place and we'll read the Word of the Lord together beginning in verse number 7 of Exodus chapter number 3. This is not a series, I don't suppose, but kind of like back a couple of years ago when I began preaching on windows in the Bible, I really didn't know how long I'd preach on windows. And I preached to you the messages about windows as God would give them to me. And we went about 13 or 14 weeks of preaching on windows. Windows that I didn't even know before we got started that existed were all over the Bible. And so all I know to do is just try to follow the Lord and be obedient to what God had given me in Exodus 3. I want to begin reading in verse number 7. The Word of God says, and the Lord God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that what I have sent to thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord this morning. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me for a little while, out of these verses from verse number 7 through verse number 12. This morning on the favor of God. We've talked in verses 1 through 6 about the fire of God, and it's taken us several weeks to do that. I don't have near as much to preach, I don't suppose, on the favor of God as what we have had on the fire of God. But I do want to try to share with you these verses from 7 through 12 about the favor of God. The Lord has showed Moses His fire in these first verses. And last week we preached about how to approach God, how to approach the fire, how to approach the fire of God and the God of the fire. And how we would then receive
receive His blessings when we are in His presence and so forth. But I want us to see in these next few verses this morning the favor of God. And I'm thankful today that God is interested in us.
Amen.
Just the very thought of that sours my soul with blessings to know that God is interested in me. I mean, who is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I mean, why would God be interested in somebody like me? But I'm glad the Lord is interested in us this morning. He cares about your situation. He is keenly aware of what you're going through. His eye is upon you, and the Lord knows where you are. He knows the numbers of hair upon your head. He has them numbered, the Bible said. He doesn't just have them counted. He has them numbered. He knows how many hairs that you have, how many that you've lost, and He knows which one is which. Amen. The Lord can read your mail. He knows your fingerprint. He has everything about you on His mind. Matter of fact, you occupy His thoughts and His mind here this morning. God is interested in us, and I'm so thankful for that. He has shown us favor, friend. This favor is undeserved. It's unmerited. And often by mankind, it is unnoticed. But God is interested in people just like you and me. I'm poor and needy, the psalmist said in Psalm 40 and 17. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He's interested in us. We're on His mind. Isaiah said that He would make man that would be more precious than gold. He called us the apple of His eye. Man is the crowning jewel of God's creation. And yet He said He saw every sparrow that fell from the sky. He said He fed the birds, my friend. God feeds all of the birds. Consider the lilies of the field, how they neither toil nor spin. And yet Solomon in all of his splendor was not arrayed, my friend, in finer splendor and greatness and wonder than these. And yet Jesus said, are you not better than the flowers of the field? Are you not better than the fowls of the air? He said, what man among you, His son asking of him a fish, would offer unto him a serpent? What man among you, His son asking of him a piece of bread, would cast unto him a stone? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask Him? Oh, my friend, He has shown favor unto us. Amen. Oh, thank God the songs we sung this morning bring to mind from Titus chapter number 2 or 3, where it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Isn't that a blessing, friend? He didn't have to give you His grace. He didn't have to show you His mercy. He didn't have to display His love. Oh, but thank God for divine favor. I mean, if I have found favor in thy sight, how the man prayed in the Old Testament, oh, thank God, when the earth, my friend, was filled with violence and wickedness, and that there was none that found favor with God, and there's none that sought after the Lord, and that their hearts were only evil continually, and their sin was so great that it repented God that He had ever made man. There was one by the name of Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, I'm glad he found grace, because there's grace to be found. Thank God for His divine favor, His loving favor, His merciful kindness toward us. And we see a display of His favor in verses 7 through 12 of our chapter this morning. He shows how He is partial toward us. And I thank God for His divine kind of favor. My great-grandma used to say about one of her boys, one of her sons, she had six boys. And the girl died when she was just a baby, so all she had was boys. And one of her boys, all he had was girls. And she'd say about her son, she'd say, he's just plumb foolish over them girls. Y'all remember that? She'd say, he's just plumb foolish over them girls. What she meant was that he just fell all over himself to do whatever he could and whatever was necessary to take care of and to see after and to show favor unto his daughters. I tell you, when we're children of God, our friend, he shows favor unto us. He goes to far lengths. He goes to extremes. And to be partial towards us. And to show us his favor. And I bless his sweet name for that. Amen. And I want to show you, my friend, through four things here in our passage of Scripture, the favor of the Lord this morning. First of all, in verse number 7 and again in verse number 9, I want you to notice his awareness. Verse 7, he said, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Verse number 9, "Now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." And notice his awareness declares unto us the favor of the Lord. He's aware of where we are. He said that, my friend, he was aware of their circumstances. And notice the phrase in verse 7, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people." He said, "I know their sorrows." In verse number 9, "Did the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me. I have also seen the oppression." I'm glad God sees, a friend. I'm glad he's watching out for us. You're not outside of his watchful eye here today. You think God doesn't see and God doesn't know, but the Lord is fully aware of your circumstance. He's alert, friend. What you're going through has not caught him by surprise. And nor is he in heaven unaware and unconcerned. But he sees what you're going through. I'm glad he's not just seen, he's a surely seen. I mean, friend, with definitiveness. My friend, definitely he speaks. He speaks here with confidence, with absolute authority. I have a surely seen. Oh, friend, I thank God. He sees and he knows. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 9 said, "The eyes of the Lord go to and fro and throughout the earth." The Lord sees it all. God sees it all. God sees it all, friend. As Psalm chapter 11 verse number 4 said, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men." Psalm 34 and verse 15 said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear is open unto their cry." He is keenly aware of what you are facing. He has surely seen. Amen. They don't nobody know what I'm doing. They had nobody seen how hard that I'm trying to live for God. They don't nobody understand what I'm facing and the obstacles that lie in my way. I may not see, friend. You may do things for the church that I may never see or know about. I may not be aware of. I may never recognize you for it. The church may never pat you on the back. And nobody else may ever give you an award or pin a medal on your chest. My friend, but thank God. He sees. He knows.
somebody else. If you've been in the mischief today, he sees that. He's aware of that. He's interested in that. Amen. And nothing is escaping his eyes. God sees it all. God sees it all. His awareness shows his favor and his awareness to their circumstances. And then notice he had an awareness to their cry. And the Bible said, he said to them, I have seen. And then he said, I have heard their cry and I know their sorrows. In verse 7, in verse number 9, the cry of the children of Israel, come unto me. And not only does he see, he hears. He does hear and answer prayer. He's listening for your voice. Satan says God's not paying any attention and that the Lord does not care. But I'm glad he hears us when we cry. I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me. And he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praising our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I'm glad he's listening for our cry. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. I'm telling you, God's in the business of answering prayer. And I know he's going to answer mine. Isaiah 59 and 1 said, the Lord's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, neither is his hand shortened that he cannot save. God is in the business of answering prayers. And the devil says that he doesn't care. The devil says he's not paying you any attention. The devil says that he does not listen. But the devil is a liar and the father of it. Amen. The Lord knows our sorrows. I appreciate the end of verse number 7. He said, I have seen, I have heard. But then he finished verse 7 saying, for I know their sorrows. Oh, there are people who see what you're going through. They hear what you're saying. But they really don't know your sorrows. But I'm glad Jesus knows all about our sorrows. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He's aware of where we are, friend. His favor is shown. It's in his awareness toward us. He is aware of their circumstances, aware of their cries. He's interested in us this morning. Then I want to say, not only does his awareness show us his favor, but in verse number 8, his activity shows us his favor. He said, I am now come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, bring them up out of that land, unto a good land with a lot and a large, unto a land full of milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and goes on to describe all the Canaanite people there. His activity, he said, I've seen them and I've heard them and I've come to do something about it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God's in the business of doing something about it. Somebody said, I don't know what God's doing. That don't mean he ain't doing. Amen. He's still doing when you don't know what he's doing. God's still doing. Hey, he said, I have come to deliver them. I'm doing something about it, friend. I'll tell you, Jesus knows what to do. Amen. Oh, yes, he does. His activity, he said, I'll tell you what I'm come to do. I'm come to bring them out. Amen. I heard what they said. I've listened to their cry. I've seen their affliction. I know their sorrow. And I'm going to bring them out. What do you mean, bring them out? Don't you understand? Egypt is the world of power. They're in authority. They're in charge. I mean, them old slaves, what are they going to do? They don't have weaponry. They don't have training. They don't have a military. They don't have the numbers. They don't have the power. I mean, they don't have the wherewithal or the means, my friend. How are you going to bring them out? He said, I've come to bring them out. Amen. Look at that pitiful little crowd down there at the church house. That weak-minded bunch clinging to God and their guns. That's what our president had to say about church people. Amen. That's exactly right. say. But you know what God said? I came to bring them out. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. What do you mean leave this world and go to heaven? Well, if Jesus come to bring us out, then He'll bring us out. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. How are you going to get your life straightened out? How are you going to get out of sin? He came to bring us out. That's how, friend. Oh, yes. He came to bring us out.
Right.
He came to bring us out of Egypt, friend. I mean, God is interested in seeing that you leave Egypt. Are you listening to me? Egypt is a likeness of this world. Egypt is a type or an illustration of this sinful world we're living in. God is interested in seeing to it you leave Egypt. God is interested in seeing to it that He calls you out from among them to be a separate people, a holy nation. I'm not going to light into this world. Oh, yes, He's trying to deliver you from sin. And if you'll yield yourself to Him, God has come to bring you out. He could have chosen to comfort Israel in Egypt, but He chose to deliver Israel out of Egypt. Are you listening to me, friend? God's not interested in you being comfortable in your sin and in the world. He's trying to get you out of the world. Amen. Oh, friend, and He will deliver you. And as surely as He's delivered us, I'm not fearing from the power of sin and the penalty of sin. On one of these blessed mornings, He'll deliver us from the presence of sin. And we'll leave this old Egyptian world and go to a place that flows of milk and honey. A lamb that is far better than this. It's God's sovereign choice to bring us out of this world.
His activity is to bring them out. And then, Brother Bob, His activity is to bring them in. Amen.
That's exactly right. Now, if it brought you out but hadn't brought you in, then you'd be nowhere. Amen. That's exactly right. And that's where they were for 40 years. Nowhere in the wilderness. Nowhere marching around in circles. Getting nowhere and doing it in a hurry. Oh, my friend, but He said, I didn't bring them out. Not just to bring them out, but I brought them out to bring them into a good land. And in a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey. He didn't bring you out to leave you at the Red Sea, my friend, and drown or starve to death in the wilderness. But Deuteronomy 6 and 23 said, He brought us out that He might bring us in. He brought them out of Egypt to bring them into Canaan. He brought you out of sin to bring you into a Spirit-filled, victorious Christian life. He brought you out of this world and the ways of the world, the life of the world, the lifestyles of the world, to bring you in the family of God, into the favor of God, into the fellowship of the saints, into the forgiveness of sin. And God brought you out that He might bring you in. God has a greater plan for your life than eating onions and leeks and garlics down there in Egypt and being cussed by Pharaoh's guards. God's got a bigger plan for your life, my friend. I've been just stomping around on the banks of the Red Sea and asking how we're going to get out of here. God's got a bigger plan for your life than looking up in the heavens in the wilderness and wondering, will there be bread? I tell you, there is a land. There is a land. Hallelujah. There is a land, amen, and it flows with milk and honey. And God has promised it can be ours. I tell you, you can be a Spirit-filled, victorious Christian. You can live for Jesus. The devil says the giants are too tall. But I'll say it again. The devil is a liar, friend. God brought you out that He might bring you in. I'll never be able to make it. I won't ever be able to live it. That's why I won't get saved. No, friend, you won't ever be able to leave it, live it until you get saved. Amen. But when you get saved and the liver gets in you, if you got a liver, you can live. Amen. God lives within you. And friend, He brought you out that He might bring you in. I just don't know how I'm going to make it. By the grace of God, that's how you're going to make it. And that's the only way you're going to make it. But thank God, by grace, you can make it. Hallelujah. He brought them out that He might bring them in. His activity shows His favor. Amen. He brought them out. He brought them in. And then I want to say He brought them through. Amen. He brought them through. Amen. Oh, He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them into Canaan. He brought them through the battles. Amen. He said when they get to out of Egypt and they get into Canaan, there's going to be some obstacles there. There's going to be some opposition there. All the Canaanites are in that land. The Hivites, he says, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Termites, and all the otherites. They're in the land of Canaan. And my friend, they'll do everything they can to stop you from taking the land. You realize, friend, there'll be opposition. If you're going to live for God, there'll be opposition. Deeply rooted opposition that will face you every day. But God said the same God that brought you out of Egypt. The same God that parted the waters. The same God that fed you, my friend, from heaven every day with golden grahams in the wilderness. My friend, is the same God that'll run your enemies out from before you. And He said in Deuteronomy, I'll run them out as it were on the backs of hornets' wings. Amen. I'll run them out of town from before your face. I tell you, He'll bring out that He might bring in, that He might bring you through. Somebody said, I'm saved, but I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle. You might feel that way, but it ain't so. I tell you, we're not fighting a losing battle. A losing's nowhere in the equation. I tell you, we ain't even winning. We've already won. Amen. Oh, yes, friend. This is a fixed fight. It's rigged. From the beginning, He's going to bring us through. He'll bring us through.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. How are you going to stop what God wants to happen? Amen. Oh, my. You'll have to fight, but God will see you through. His activity, bring us out, bring us in, bring them through. And then I want to say His favor is shown in His awareness, His activity. His favor is shown in His advocacy. In verse number 10, and notice He says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And now He says here, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Notice the servitude of Moses. It was not Moses' decision to go to Pharaoh. He was doing the will of the one who sent him. In this likeness, he is an advocate. He is an intercessor. He is a likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ in this regard. And Jesus said in John 6:38, for I am come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He became God's representative on earth. Amen. He became the testator of the First Testament. Moses is of the Old Testament, and Jesus is of the New Testament. Moses of the Old Testament. I said a testament is worth nothing. Our testament is not enacted until the death of the testator. And my friend, Moses surely died, and God buried him. But in the New Testament, Jesus is my friend, the testator of the New Testament. And He ever liveth. Amen. Oh, yes. He'll make intercession for the transgressors. He's our advocate. He's our day's man. He's my friend, our go-between. He's the intercessor between God and man. He's the one that hung between the thieves. He's the one that hung between heaven and earth. He's the one that hung between man and God. He's the one that hung between me and my sin. He's the one separating you in hell. He's the one can separate you and the devil. He's the one who separates you and the world. I tell you, Jesus is the man in the middle. He is the one in between. He's the one, my friend, who is our advocate. My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the righteous, the Lord Jesus, whose blood is a propitiation for our sin. And not for our sin only, but for the sin of the whole world. I'm so glad for now. us, we have a great adversary. But I'm so glad we have a greater advocate. And he's pleading my case. And he's looking out for me. He's representing me before the King. Amen. Woo! Oh, I bless the Lord. Matter of fact, through him, I have access to the King. Access to the throne room. These Israelites couldn't have got an audience with Pharaoh to save their lives. But for some reason, well, not just for some reason, there's a very specific reason. Moses was recognized by the plan of God as a member of the royal family. Therefore, he had access, my friend, to the palace and to the King. If your advocate is some fellow wearing his collar backwards, I'm wearing a dress all the time and don't believe in getting married, how you going to have trouble getting in touch with God? But if your advocate is a member of the royal family, he's got keys to the throne room. Woo! He's got access to talk to the King, and he stands in our stead, and he stands in our case, and he pleads our case before the King. I tell you, he has been sent by God to advocate for the people of Israel. The servanthood. Notice not only in his advocacy, the servanthood, but notice the sovereignty. Pharaoh thinks he's in charge. Pharaoh thinks he's the King. But God ain't sending Moses down there to negotiate with him. Amen. And he's not sending Moses down there to make a deal. He's not sending Moses down there to ask a favor. He's sending Moses down to Pharaoh to tell him, let my people go. Amen. He's sending him down there to give commands. Now, Pharaohs are not accustomed to anybody giving commands unto them. They are the ones that give the commands. Everybody else snaps when they say what to do. They're the ones in charge. Pharaoh thought he was a ruler, but he found out that he had been overruled and superruled. Amen. God had sent Moses down to tell him, let my people go. And you don't have any authority over them. They don't belong to you. They belong to me. Oh, my friend. The devil would love to think that he's ruling this thing. He'd love to say and to buffalo you and to bully you and to thinking that you cannot make it and that he is in charge. But when it comes time for God to save a sinner, he does not seek one ounce of the devil's approval or permission. Amen. He binds a strong man and he spoils the house and he sets us free. Oh, I bless his name. Well, well, when Jesus comes back, he'll not have to check in with the Congress, get an executive order from President Obama to see if it's all right with him, nor will he need a meeting, my friend, the United Nations, to see if they like it or not. When Jesus comes in glory, bride, we'll leave the lonely saves of night. Our sorrow will be past. Eternal joy at last. When Jesus comes in the clouds, I tell you, he'll just do it just because he said so. He's sovereign, he's God, he's King, and he's in charge.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ain't no debating about that. Amen. His advocacy, the servanthood, the sovereignty, and then notice the strength. He says to Moses, so when you get down there, said, you're going to bring them out. Bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, no doubt about what God's going to do.
Right.
Now let's put this plan in action and see if it works.
Amen.
And if not, we'll figure out what to do when we cross that bridge and we get to it. That bridge ain't even in the concept stage. I mean, what are we going to do if God's plan don't work? Ain't no use in even designing that bridge because it'll never be used. God's plan will work. Amen. That's exactly right. His strength, His power, friend. Oh, yes. There was no doubt how this thing would turn out. God would display His strong hand in Egypt that all the earth might know that He is the Lord. Father, I'm closing with this morning. His favor is seen in His awareness, His activity, His advocacy. His favor is seen in the assurance He gives to Moses. Verse number 12 was one of the greatest things in all the Bible. And He said, certainly. You know, there's not a whole lot of things in the world that's certain. The world is filled with uncertainty. The talking heads on the news just this morning were talking about how that economic times were not likely to change because of all the uncertainty there is in terms of our global and national economic picture. And there is a lot of uncertainty. Matter of fact, I don't think it's just uncertainty. I think it's nastiness and sin and judgment myself. You can think what you want to of it. That's exactly right. We've turned so far from God in this nation, it's ridiculous. Amen. Sin on every side, all the way from the White House to the church house to your house and my house, the schoolhouse, and the house of the local government. I tell you, sin abounds on every side. We've gone so far, friend, as to elect a fella who's a Muslim for president. Amen. There's a day when it was a step for a man that was a Catholic to be elected as president of the United States. And now we got a fella that's a Muslim. Amen. That's exactly right. You can think about what you want to. I don't know where he's born. I have a friend I know is raised in them Muslim schools. That's exactly right. I know he's a God hater and I know he's a church hater. Amen. Oh, friend, you say you like him. Well, that's different than what he thinks about you because he don't like you, buddy. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, friend, God, have mercy on us. And I've had folks say, don't bring that politics in the pulpit. I'm preaching on sin right now. Amen. That's exactly right. Whosoever, friend, denies the Lord Jesus Christ, he's of the devil. That's exactly right. And the so-called Jesus that man believes in is not the Jesus of this King James Bible. Amen. He is an opposer to God. He may not be the Antichrist, but he is an Antichrist. And he's anti-church and he's anti-Bible. And I'm not ashamed for it to be known that I'm anti-Obama. Amen. That's exactly right, friend. Oh, God, have mercy on us. And my friend, God said, certainly, there is some certitude in this world. There are some things you can know. There are some things you can be sure of. Certainly, and listen to what he says, certainly, I will be with thee. Woo! I may not be sure about a lot, but the fact that the Lord is with me, I can be sure of. Surely, I will be with thee. You're not going alone, Moses. I'll thank God he has promised. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Hello, he said, I am with thee always. I tell you, Jesus, his presence, the sweet Holy Ghost is faithful to go with us.
Amen.
There's a great assurance in his presence. You ever been in that place in that time where you're facing an encounter of some sort, whether it be situations or circumstance or temptation, whether it be maybe on your job or your home or in your finances or your health? Maybe you was just about to have the needle put in your arm to put you out and you wouldn't know what it's going to be like when you woke back up or even if you'd wake back up on the other side of the surgery. Maybe it seemed like you're staring the devil right eye to eye. And you wondered how everything was going to go from this point forward. I tell you, there's no greater promise than to be able to say, certainly, He will be with me. Amen. Oh my. Listen, there's times you're not even with yourself. Are you listening to me? There's times you're not even with yourself. Amen. I mean, there's times you're completely out of it. I mean, you're going under, friend. You lost consciousness. You're not even at yourself. You don't even know who you are. I mean, completely out of your mind. But I tell you, that doesn't mean the Lord's left you. He's still with you. Oh, He's more faithful to you than you even can be to yourself. How about that? I mean, that's the kind of God we're talking about. Oh, friend, you can go to bed at night, lay your head. I'm telling you, he's a faithful God. Certainly. I tell you, it's not maybe. Oh, my friend, I remember when Ronald Reagan was elected president. I said, one of the fellas called him up. I know it was his friend. He said, "Mr. President, I just want to call you up and tell you I'll be with you through thick and lifted at that." And that's where most folks are. They're not with you through thick and thin. They're just with you through thick. Amen. But I tell you, Jesus will be with you through thick and thin. Amen. He'll be there in the good times, the fat times, and the lean times. The Lord will be in the midst of your storm. And my friend, he'll be on the mountaintop and in the valley. Certainly. I will be with thee.
Amen.
What a promise. The assurance of the presence of the Lord. And then notice his assurance is given in proof. He said, "This shall be a token unto thee." That word token means a reminder or evidence. Oh my. It's evidence. It's a reminder of how you got here, of why you did this, of what your purpose is. Oh, he said, "This shall be a token unto thee, what is, that I have sent thee." I wonder, friend, what is the token unto you? What is that reminds you why you're here, what you're doing, why you ought to do what you're doing? What is that reminder? It's the sweet Holy Ghost, friend, that now and again tugs in our heart and reminds us we're not here by our own choosing. However, rather, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was God's sovereignty in our lives. Oh, friend, when you wonder the who, the how, the why, the what, and it seems that my friend, when you remember the who, all the how, whys, and whats make a lot more sense. As somebody said, "Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? How is it going to happen?" All those questions, friend, are found in the who it is that sent me. And if we'd learned the who, the how, the when, the where, the why, and the what, would all come together in a whole lot a better matter and fashion for us. Oh, it's who, it's our proof, it's our token, our sent you. People are so strung out today trying to figure out how to get to God, what to do in life, why are things as they are. And so much of that stress and anxiety could be eliminated if they really knew Him. If they had His presence in their lives every day. Oh, my friend, and understood who is sitting on the throne above.
Right.
The proof. Notice the plan. We've hit it and I'm going to backhand it and keep going. Thou hast brought forth the people. Not if, but when. It's the plan. Where's the contingency? There ain't one. When plan A works, you don't need a plan B. And when it's God's plan, that's all you got's plan A, because it's going to work.
Amen.
The plan. Bring them out. Not negotiate to see what God might be able to do. Go get them, Moses. Go get them. Notice the purpose, then I'm closing. When you brought them forth out of Egypt, the last part of verse 12, ye shall serve God on this mountain. Now, there's two things to that. First of all, when I get them out, you're going to serve God. God means business when He brings you out of Egypt about you serving God. His purpose is for us to serve Him. He saved us, filled us with His Spirit, and walks with us every day, not for a show, but for service. God means business about you serving the Lord.
Amen.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God means business about you serving the Lord. Did you know He saved you for the very purpose of serving Him?
Amen.
He didn't save you so you could feel good. You mean to be or burst your bubble or squelch your shout or anything, but He didn't save you so you could shout.
That's right.
He didn't even save you so you could go to heaven. He saved you to serve Him.
Amen.
That's right. The benefits of serving now. We get to shout, we praise God, we got joy in our heart, got the Spirit of the Lord walking with us every day, we got heaven to look forward to. I mean, friend, the benefits are out of this world. But I'm telling you, the purpose of Him saving us was for us to serve Him. When you bring them out, Moses, you serve God. But then there's a second part of that. You serve God upon this mountain. Now, where is He? He's right there at that burning bush. He's standing warming His hands by the fire. He's on holy ground, friend. Isn't that right? He's in a place where He's not even able to walk. I'm not even able to walk with His shoes on. He's in a place where He's not even worthy to be there. He said, Moses, go down yonder to Egypt. Get them children of Israel. Bring them out of Egypt. When you bring them out, you bring them right back to this same place. And all of you serve Me on this mountain. What God put in Moses, God intended to put in all of the children of Israel. Somebody said, well, that preacher does this, and the preacher ought to do so and so. And I tell you, if you're going to be a deacon, you ought to do this and that. It's the purpose of God for all of His children to serve Him. And we all serving on the same mountain. Amen. We all standing on the same ground. We all serving the same God. We all going to answer to the same judge. Amen. And I'll tell you, we can all have the same fire. And Moses, as surely as you've seen fire, everybody that wants it, everybody that'll put themselves in a possession to receive it, everybody that'll have it, they can have the same fire that you have. I'd like to have what this one's got and that's caught. If you'll make the necessary sacrifices to do it, then you can have it. Amen. The Lord is not a respecter of person. You can't have power of God. You can't draw nigh to God. You can walk where Moses walked. Amen. You can see what Moses saw. You can hear what Moses heard. I tell you, God wants you to serve Him on the same mountain, among the same fire, with the same fervor, and with the same power. And God wants you to serve Him on this mountain. How about that now? I'm done preaching. Come on, the song. The favor of God. God wanted all Israel to serve Him on the same mountain where Moses was. He wanted them all to serve where there was fire. The power of God is for all of God's people.
Thank God. Amen. Thank
God. Notice what Moses' primary job was, Brother Matthew. His primary job, he didn't go to deliver Israel. That is God's doings. He didn't go to defeat Pharaoh. That is God's doings. He didn't go to part the Red Sea. That is God's doings. You know what Moses' primary job was? When the Lord brought him out of Egypt, his primary job was to show him where the mountain was. Amen. He's the only one of them people that had ever been to that mountain. And God said, when you come out of Egypt, I want you to come back to this mountain. And Moses goes down to Egypt. Does everything God tells him to do, and God does all the work. He does all the heavy lifting. And when they get out of town, Moses said, now fellas, there's just one thing that I know how to do. I'm just going to show you where it all got started. I just want to show you why that I do what I do. Let you see what I've seen. And if you do, you'll want to live for Him and you'll want to love Him and you want to serve Him the same way as what I do. You know what your responsibility in life is? It's not to try to straighten out everybody. It's not to put on the boxing gloves and crawl in the ring and give the devil a black eye. Oh no, friend, your responsibility in this world is to take people to the mountain. Amen. To show folks where you've been. To tell them where the fire is. Come and see. Come and see. When the woman at the well met Jesus, she said, come and see a man that told me all things whatsoever I've done. Surely this is the Christ. Or whatever the apostle was witnessing unto Nathaniel up under that fig tree, up under that bush, he said,
sea. Our responsibility is to do as Moses, to say to others, come along, come and see, and come with me, follow me. I'm going back to the mountain where the fire is. And God will save you there. God will help you there. God will fill you there. God will thrill you there. Just come with me to that mountain.
And there we'll worship the Lord. Serve Him. Stand to your feet if you need to pray this morning. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever you need, if you're lost, would you come? He's interested in you. If you're saved and you feel like you're fighting all the nations, the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and Jebusites, Amorites, you're fighting all of them in your life. You can't seem to get victory. The Lord's interested in you this morning. If you'd ask me to help you, the Lord will hear your prayer. He'll show favor to you. See, when you're ready, if you need to pray, I'd invite you to come. What divine favor? What divine favor?